Hey everyone, this is Austin Schur here with We Write About Music. Today I'm here with Carter Holsey. He's all set to release his long-awaited record, Start Staying, on May 11th. Carter, it's an absolute pleasure to have you back on. Thank you so much for being here today.
Dude, thanks for having me. It's always nice to talk to you. I'm thankful to be here. I really am.
I'm thankful to have you on here. Are you kidding me? Well, it looks like the last time we spoke was in August of last year, and there was a glimmer of hope that there was a record that would be dropping. Thankfully, that day is incredibly close to being here. The first question here is, how have you been over the past 6 months? How's life been in Nashville?
Man, it's been really good. I guess when I talked to you in August, we were probably had just finished up probably mixing and mastering, or we're close. So yeah, it's been good. We've just been, working on some promotional stuff for the record, and I've just been recording other stuff nonstop. So just straight up music all day. It's been good.
Nice. Yeah, the last time I spoke, actually, I watched the interview last night just to kind of get a refresher on what we talked about. And it was kind of crazy because you said you were in a studio and there was plastic drapes hanging between people and constant just like testing. And, you know, thankfully we're in a bit of a better place at this point. And yeah. Things are looking good going forward.
So we're doing a live stream of the record on Tuesday. So May 11th at 6:30, doors open at 6:30.
Right.
It'll be on demand after. So like people on the West Coast can, you know, they can see it if they're at work or whatever. But I say that, you mentioned like recording and like through the plastic and all that stuff. We're going to have like a little mini documentary, like a couple minutes of just kind of like behind the scenes of what it was like, because it was so odd to record like that, and my buddy Kevin like did a great job of capturing the whole thing. So there'll be like a pretty like honest look at what it was like to get through recording during all of this. It was pretty crazy.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to that. That's going to be something. So the first thing that I want to talk about here are the singles that have been released so far. So far, there's been four tracks out. And it's been basically a classic return to form for you in terms of sound, which is great. They're all obviously your babies, but is there one lyrically that is extra personal to you?
You know, honestly, we're releasing one more single tonight at midnight. It comes out on the 4th, May 4th. It's called Ticket to the Show. And it is, I think we actually maybe talked about this in August, but we took a little break because of COVID. During that break, we had all the songs for the record, but during that break, I wrote this song and it just, you know, happened to kind of work out. We stuck it at the end of the album, but it's like a pretty honest look at myself and like, you know, the role that people assume and, you know, carry if they're, you know, in the entertainment business in any way. So the record itself, Start Staying, is chronological over the last probably 5.5 years. And the last song, Ticket to the Show, it's like kind of circusy and kind of like odd. And there's like a really odd key change in it. I've never written anything like it. And so I would say lyrically and musically, it's the one I'm most excited about. The bridge in it is lyrically one of my favorites. I'm not Captain Music Theory or like, I'm not great at like piano, but if I can hear it in my head, like if I sit there long enough, right, I'll figure out the bridge for this song, Ticket to the Show. I sat right here for an hour and a half. There's only like four chords in the thing, but I sat here for an hour and a half because I knew what it was supposed to sound like. I just didn't know how to get there. You know, and someone that's versed in music theory could have been like, well, let me, you know, it would have been
sure.
For me, it was an unbelievable amount of trial and error. So yeah, that song, dude, I'm very excited for people to hear it. It's it'll be out tonight at midnight. So I guess today's the 3rd. Yeah. It's the last
very
track.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm definitely looking forward to that. I'll imagine you sitting in this spot, just tinkering and crying over the song.
Right here, dude.
So last time we had spoke, you had mentioned that there wasn't an album title chosen yet, but obviously since then that's changed. What's the significance behind Start Staying?
Yeah, so the record, the working title was The Ones That Go Up to the Stars, and that's a lyric from the Ticket to the Show.
Oh, I like that too.
But it was just too long. And Start Staying is it's, you know, like I said, the record's chronological and it's kind of like autobiographical. And for me, it just means, kind of like living in the moment and where you've chosen to be and just being okay with that. And, letting that be enough. I personally have spent a lot of time like wandering around, like geographically and just mentally. And it's about me just being content with where I'm at, so that I can be good and then also be there for others. So yeah, it's just about getting comfortable with, like, where you're at, not in a complacent way, but just in a gratitude way.
I like that. It's also, I mean, it's catchy, it's easy to remember, and it's a lot shorter than the other one. It's definitely got that staying power to it. So I need to talk about this album rollout that you've had for the record. It's been so cool and one of the most innovative things I've seen in a while. For those that don't know, and please correct me if I'm wrong in any way, but basically, those that have been on your monthly supporter list were sent boxes filled with a CD player with a new record to listen to. Is that right?
Yep.
Okay. So first off, amazing. Second, what's the feedback been like? And are you accepting feedback, or is it more like you don't want to know what they think?
No. Yeah, dude. It's been awesome. So I had this idea. There's a train coming. I love it. You're going to get rolling through.
That's all right. It's authentic.
My thought going into this record was, you know, I've never really spent any money promoting my music, and Facebook and Instagram and all that stuff, trying to keep up, I was like, how could I like send it to people in a unique way that maybe they would want to post about it? So Kevin, my buddy that plays drums and does video stuff, him and I were just kind of brainstorming and came up with this idea. And we just, it's not like unique, like I think maybe the Black Key or Radiohead, when they released
this. I was going to mention them.
Yeah, they did a player to radio DJs and stuff.
Exactly.
Like that. And it's not like, it's not like, you know, a novel idea, but I also have so many people that are like, you know, my fan base is not like, we're not going to take over any municipalities, but the ones that are there are dedicated.
And right.
Unreal. So I wanted to like give them an experience. So it was very cool because too, like when we first started sending them out, I didn't say anything. So like my buddy, Pat Roberts, was one of the first people that opened it. And he's like, dude, I just like, he was like FaceTiming with me, like couldn't believe it. The packaging was done really well. Like I was really proud of how it turned out. And he said, like, he just took the CD player, which was like sealed shut, and went into his room, turned the lights off, and listened to the record from start to finish. And to for someone to give you that much of their time, especially now, like 2021, for someone to give you that amount of attention, that was the goal. But it's really cool when that does happen. So they've been traveling all over the country. I've got a spreadsheet of everywhere they've been. It's pretty crazy. Most of them are like, I don't know where most of them are currently. And like some people them and they just kept them. They thought they were so cool, which wasn't the point, but it's, you know, whatever. It's fine. It's been really cool.
Yeah, definitely an awesome way to roll it out. It's a classic way of listening at this point. And like, you're right, there is so much music coming out on a weekly, daily basis, even, that when someone can sit down for 30 or 40 minutes and listen and take it in and kind of like breathe it back to you, it should mean a lot. So that's fantastic. Please, please, please tell me that there's going to be any amount of a physical release for this record. I need to personally attempt to complete my collection of your works.
I don't know yet. It's possible.
Not ruling it out. That's cool.
I have some boxes and CD players left over. I think what I might do is just sell those, you know, not like a super expensive thing, but just anybody sure. that truly, or maybe, you know, because there are some people that have reached out that want something physical. I don't know. It's just so hard because like finding CD players was tough. Like,
I was gonna say
affordable. That was a whole nightmare. I bought CD players, and I tested the box. I sent it. So I'm in Nashville. I sent it to Missouri to my parents. My parents opened it, which they've never interacted with a CD player. Was after them and then never came back. So even tech support with your family is one thing, but like. Right. When like your heart is like also involved in stuff, it didn't work. And they got a dud CD player, which was like devastating because I had spent all this time and money getting all like the boxes are custom made. The packing paper is custom like to the artwork. And it didn't work. So I was just like, oh my gosh, you gotta be kidding me. Turned out they just got a dud, but you know, I would say half the CD players that went out wound up broken, and I had to like, FedEx new CD players to people, and it was that part was challenging, but like again it was really worth it because once people had it, it was pretty you know, I had one friend out in Woodland Hills, so kind of close to you. Yeah. And they're like, I can't, like the CD player doesn't work. I was like, just take a pair of pliers, open it, get the CD player out, put it in your car, and you knew it.
Right.
And, you know, she smashed the CD player but got the CD, and
okay
it was, you know, it was just fun. It was also like a fun way to interact with like friends that have, you know, been so supportive for so mm-hmm. long. It was just a fun way to like give them something.
I love that. Well, if the mood strikes and you feel like putting out a super limited vinyl release or something, even a limited batch. Ron, I know there's huge delays, but I'm sure the people would eat that up as well.
Do you have the What You Carry vinyl? Do you have that one?
That's the
only thing I've ever done. Okay.
And that was going to be one of my questions, but I'll wait.
I think I need to do vinyl. It's just...
It's a commitment, and it's definitely costly to put up the money beforehand. I understand. Yeah. Like, it's not just like you're like, oh, whip it up. And no, it's like, it's a process.
Yeah.
So...
Well, I know I can sell a couple hundred of them, but I need to sell like 1,000 of them for it to be like truly worth it. So
exactly.
You know.
We'll see. Time will tell.
I'll get you something from this record. I'll get you something.
Don't worry about it. This is more than enough. So I want to talk about the production side of things a little bit and the band that helped you put this all together. I know you have a pretty tight crew of guys that work with you in the studio, but I feel that they should also get some of the spotlight too. So I'd love for you to kind of shout them out and, you know, who did what.
Yep, absolutely. So, and, you know, we're going to be playing the record on May 11th.
Right.
Full band. So,
yeah,
which is something I haven't done in a long time. And I do get to like show off some people that have just been like unbelievable. So Taylor McPhee, he's, you know, him and I have been buddies for a long time. He wrote the song Joplin. That's the first song on the record. And you know, he's had that song for so long. And he called me and asked if I would consider putting it on the record. And I showed it to Gooding, who recorded the record and played everything on it. And he was into it. So Taylor will be there. Taylor's going to play the bass. He wrote Joplin. Gooding recorded it, engineered the whole thing, produced it, played most everything. Gooding is a talent that I've never seen before. He can pretty much do it all. So, but he'll be there playing the guitar. But he also did drums on the record and bass, and Taylor did bass. So he'll be playing, and my buddy Dustin Dobernig will be playing piano. He's from Wisconsin. He lives out here now. He was with Honorary Title with Never Shout for a while. And let's see, Kevin, my buddy that does video, he'll be doing the drums. And I'm flying out my buddy Tyler Kossel from Lincoln, Nebraska. He'll be running the sound. And then Scott, who has been my buddy since kindergarten, he's running the live stream. For whoever saw the Christmas show, we did like a little Christmas live stream. And at the end, we tried to zoom out and like show what it looks like. But he built the whole thing. So it's a set and a bunch of cameras. And so, yeah, there's a lot of people involved, but it's going to be fun. We're going to do like a physical merch table with like a clickable link. So people are like, that's why we're opening the doors early. So like people come say hi. There'll be like a chat feature so we can talk to people the whole time. And yeah, it should be fun. I don't know.
Where are you guys doing today?
Right here. Yep.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, I've been doing shows from my basement this whole time.
Hell yeah.
It's a pretty cool setup here. It's been fun.
Nice. Yeah. And so, you know, you've got this band that's helping you out, and it sounds like even some of the other members have, you know, written and recorded some of the songs, but for you specifically, how do you go about starting a song? Does it start with lyrics? Does it start with a guitar riff? How do you kind of put it all together?
Great question. I don't know.
That's a good answer.
And, you know, I think most people would, I don't know. I'm only going to speak for myself. I don't know. What I do honestly is I show up this chair right here, at least 4 days a week for an hour and a half in the morning before mm-hmm. my day starts, before hopefully the sun is up, before the phone rings. I try to wake up, not look at anything, make coffee, come up here and sit for an hour and a half. And, I try to get a verse and a chorus 4 days a week. Most of the time they're garbage, but for me, it's, you know, Jason Isbell talks about songwriting and he says it's just problem solving, and it is, because, you know, you come up here and you have an idea and you just have to kind of figure out how to make it work, and try to clearly say what you want to say in some like constraints, in a time constraint, in an instrument constraint sometimes, you know, it's just figuring out how to make something work. So for me, and you know, Stephen King, he's one of my favorite writers, but he's like this as well. It's just, I think the muse or whatever that is shows up when it knows where to find you.
I like that a lot.
Most of the time I sit here and nothing happens. If something happened every time, I'd put out 5 records a year. Sure. That's just not realistic, and it's not realistic for anybody. So a lot of times it's work, but mm-hmm. but those few times when you come up and it's the universe. And I don't mean that in a weird way. I mean that in like, is honest. It's the way you wake up in the morning. It's the amount of humidity that is in your guitar for some reason that makes mm-hmm. it sound a certain way. And it's what you read a week ago that you just happen to remember. When all of those things click for a moment, 10 times a year, if you're there ready to capture it, that's where it is. Most everything on the record, and I've got an unbelievable amount of new songs that I've written last year and this year. The songs that I put on records usually happen in 20 minutes or less. That's the writing process. And that's just because that's that moment. So I try to show up and practice and be mm-hmm. ready and be willing and try to consistently be where the muse can come looking, you know, when it's that time. So yeah, for me, dude, it's a lot of work. But there's nothing like writing a song or experiencing a song for the first time. I like both sides of it, you know.
Does it ever come when you're out?
Really long answer to a simple question.
No, it's okay. It's okay. I mean, kind of a sort of follow up to that. Have any ideas come to you while you're out and about and not specifically focusing on it? And then also, are there any demos that you've recorded that you initially thought were trash, but then came back to and sort of reworked into something that became something?
Great question. It is very hard for me to return to a song. I've got tons of like verses or chorus verse that that I like, but finishing, trying to get back in into where you were. Gooding, he does a really great job. You know, when he gets an idea and fleshes part of it out, he writes like notes, but that are like super specific to like how he was feeling, what he was like, like stuff that you wouldn't want anybody else to read. Like even somebody that's trying to help you write the thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he's good at that. I've never been good at returning to work. If I don't capture it in that moment, I can't think of a song that, you know, hasn't been 90% done when I left here. I tweak stuff, but and then as far as like having ideas, I have this one song called Everything Falls Apart that occurred to me in its entirety in a dream. And I woke up and wrote it down. And I just wrote a song a month-ish ago that was having a dream. I came up here. It was like 5 a.m. and I just wrote it. It's so that's happened a couple times, but that's rare. You know, I've been writing for a long years, and that's only happened twice. Usually when I'm out and about, the last thing I'm thinking about is writing, because I think I attribute writing to work, because most of the time it is. And when it's not, it's that magic that happens that you can't explain that makes it all worth it. But, you know, John Prine says, I'd rather do anything than be writing a song. I'd rather go eat a hot dog, because it's so much work.
Right.
So I think when I leave right here, I usually turn that part off. Whether I do it consciously or not, I'm not sure, but it usually turns off.
I love that. Thank you for the thorough answers, seriously. Yeah. Okay, so for the longtime fans here, there are some questions that I have that hopefully can clear up some things. First question here, and kind of going back to what you said earlier about what you carry. Yes, I do own the vinyl version of it, thankfully. But is it ever getting added to streaming? Because I'm lucky enough to own a copy, but the only time I ever listen to it is when I'm flipping through my vinyl collection.
To be completely honest with you right now, I didn't know it wasn't on.
No way, are you kidding me?
I had no idea.
All right.
That's how much I check things like that. I had no idea.
It's barely even visible when you search for you. Like when you search for you, and it comes up like, oh, like Carter Holsey discography. It barely registers. I think it came up maybe on like 1 out of 5 or 6 sites.
This is so lame, but I'm going to write myself a sticky note to figure out what in the world is going on. Wow, I had no idea.
There is a huge sect of Carter Holsey listeners that are missing out on one of your best works.
I ran across a video from the studio during all that, and I was like, holy crap, that was a tough record to make, but it was good. I'm happy with how it turned out. I will get that on the internet.
Please do. Yeah, you're missing out on literal pennies from streaming services. Okay, cool. Well, that's out of the way. Let's get that on there. 2 albums in the same day. People will think that you had a quick follow-up. You just like double dropped an album. For the newer fans that have no idea it exists, like, what the hell is this?
That would be amazing.
Maybe wait a little bit then.
I can't believe it's not out there.
That's hilarious. Okay, well, that's okay. I asked this last time, and I won't stop asking as long as we keep talking. But can the fans expect a West Coast date anytime in the future? Obviously, you know, I don't know if anything's planned at this moment for even local shows. Thankfully, things are coming back.
Yep. I just started booking shows. I've got just some stuff in the north, like the north Midwest right now. I've got a couple Appleton dates in Wisconsin, and then an Illinois date. That is all I have right now. I do have some plans for some stuff on the West Coast, in LA with a little show. You will be one of the very first people to know, but it is gonna happen. It is.
All right. I'll be looking forward to it for sure. I've only got a couple more questions for you, so I'll just thank you for your time right now. Yes. One of my last questions is, so we're about a third of the way, or a little over a third of the way into this year, which is even crazy to say at this point, but what are some goals that you've set for yourself, musical or not, for the rest of this year?
That's great. That's a great question. Through the pandemic and stuff, things have been, it's really helped me focus on, it's helped me reset. You know, before, when I would set goals, they would be goals like get X amount of listeners on Spotify, or play X amount of dates, or, and something that maybe as I get older, you know, and the pandemic helped is I start to now do my goal setting, which I think goal setting is wildly important. But I've started to do it kind of backwards, which is, you know, what makes me fulfilled or happy or whatever. And then I start kind of working back from there. So the older I get, the less concerned I am with numbers. You know, that used to be a game I played forever. MySpace and Spotify, and I just want to consistently put out things that are honest and hopefully helpful. So, like I said, I've written a ton of stuff. I've really worked on recording throughout the last like 10 months or so. So I've got some just pretty straight up acoustic stuff that's going to come out. I've got a lot of that. So just like honest songwriting, I've got a lot of that coming. And to do some dates, and I work with a nonprofit called Funding the Future. We do a ton of work with young people across the country, teaching them financial literacy and going into schools where you know, the kids kind of feel like a little helpless. And we go and try to teach them some stuff that we had learned when we were in school, and we play music for them. So I'm doing a lot of that coming up, a ton of, so that's how I'm hopefully going to get to Los Angeles. We're doing a ton of stuff in Wyoming.
Nice.
Ton of stuff in California. So yeah, it's just, man, the older I get, the more I realize that my happiness is not attached to, it sounds cliche, but money or anything like that. I have a good life. I'm comfortable. And I'm just going to keep putting stuff out. I don't know, another long answer. I apologize.
That's okay.
I don't have any like super specific goals, but I just want to, I'm happy with where I'm headed right now. So I'm going to keep doing that, I think.
Awesome. All right. Well, my last question for you here is something that I like to wrap things up with the artists that I get to speak to. But basically, for the first time listener of your music who's going to discover you from this, what's a message that you would like to send to them?
Damn. That's an unbelievable question. I've never been asked that before. That's just great. I guess I would hope that, you know, say they start with this new record coming out. Like I said, it's kind of like chronological. So my goal with music truly is to make people feel less alone and try to say things that maybe, are difficult to say. My job is to show up here and put in the time to be able to write things and say things concisely, you know, that a lot of people maybe want to say or know they want to say, but aren't able to put this kind of time in to, you know, internalize things. And that gets messy a lot of times. Like, you know, I've got a ton of stuff that's like pretty dark. And I'm not a dark person. I'm a really happy person. But I think it's like I said, you know, when I come up here, it's a job, and I'm trying to say things and trying to make people feel like a little less alone. So that's, I guess that's what I would hope they would take away, is that fortunately, their troubles are probably not just specific or unique to them. Other people have gone through similar things, not necessarily me, but other people, and that there's a community around. Yeah, not to sound silly or whatever, but if we're not here to like learn from mistakes or triumphs and share those with other people, I'm not sure what the point is. So for me, it's just about trying to say things or sum up things to make people feel a little more hopeful. I guess that's what I'd like people to take away.
Awesome. Well, you've convinced me. Carter, I cannot thank you enough for the time that you've taken today and your super in-depth answers. For everyone else out there, Start Staying comes out on May 11th. By the time this comes out, we'll have all the fun links that you can check out the live stream and you can check out the record and all that good stuff. Otherwise, though, it has been an absolute pleasure to speak, and thank you so much again.
Thanks, Austin. Always good, man. Thank you.
Take care, and I hope you have a great rest of your day.
You too, brother. Thank you.
Awesome. See ya.